This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls, tweeted this morning, "Democracy in America is being destroyed by judicial coup. An activist judge is not a real judge."
Oh my God.
Isn't that great?
Did you laugh, Sue Thomas, when I played that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. Thank God.
It's funny.
Well, it is funny. Thank you. I didn't predict that correctly, right, Fred?
You told me.
Sue would have a different reaction. Had you heard about that until now?
No, that's really funny. People do not have a sense of humor on the other side. It's
they
just
do
crazy.
Not. Look, why do you think he's doing it?
So exactly.
Just in case, there's two things about this. So, what he did is he changed it back at this point. So
he did?
Yeah, it's not. Darn it! He changed it back. It was Harry B-O with like a, what do you call those things? An umlaut or whatever? Something like that. L-Z. And what he did with Dana Bash is he tweeted out, and the tweet said, because this is just epic, you know, trolling here, the tweet said, "Made them say my name," right? So she says,
"Now the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls."
The fact that he made her say it out loud makes me even happier.
I think that was the whole goal.
Yes, they fall for it.
They do fall for it. I mean, there's amazing levels of trolling going on. But good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We have Fred in the studio, Ethan Hannaford as well, Sue Thomas, as we get going here for a Tuesday afternoon. A lot to cover, including Kara Spencer, who is... let's just be honest about it. I know Mark Cox had Michael Butler on. I've got nothing against Michael, and maybe he can be a serious contender, but I think Kara has the better chance of unseating Tish and winning the mayor's race, so she's going to come in here in studio. We're going to talk about some of these issues here in a few minutes. We got a storm heading our way. Dave Murray will give us the very latest on that coming up at 4:07. I played the Kenny Wallace laugh. We love Kenny, and he is back from a trip to Europe.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
He went to Germany and to Italy, and he really just had a lot of fun. You remember, Sue, when we highlighted this a couple of weeks ago, one of the questions that you and part of the audience had is, hey, where's Kim? Where is Kenny's lovely wife? And she specifically did not want to go on this trip because she doesn't want to go anywhere that's international. She's fine with going to Mexico, but we'll talk about that as well. We got Sean Spicer coming up, the host of the Sean Spicer Show, where you listen to podcasts. He does a great YouTube channel thing in the morning, too, where he breaks down the issues. Jason Rance from Seattle will be here in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day. Now, just a quick programming note, because I will not be here tomorrow, and I've talked about this a little bit. Let me just kind of encapsulate it. We won't spend a whole lot of time on it, because I want to get back to Harry Balls and things like that. But this goes back a couple of months. Now, I guess it would be 2 months to the beginning part of December when I was shared Some audio was shared with me from a journalism class at the University of Missouri, and it was quite stunning audio. And I didn't really get to share it because the person who I was given the audio secondhand by someone who was friends with the parent and the student at Mizzou, and it was from the day after the election in a documentary film class. And look, I'll just tell you, in the first 30 seconds, this professor said, democracy is idiotic. And there were just ridiculous things that were said. Yeah. Oh, you know, and it's far worse than that. Far worse. So when I was getting ready to play the audio, and I was given permission to play the audio, I reached out to the dean of the journalism school. I went to the journalism school. I thought, well, you might want to know about this a little bit. So I didn't want to create a big firestorm without at least giving him a heads up. And he responded. David Kirpius is his name. He responded right away. And what happened was, at the time, some people might remember this, the parent totally, like, literally 15 minutes before I was going to play the audio. Fred, you remember this day.
Oh, yeah.
It was 2:45. I came out of an interview, and I see my phone had blown up about, don't use that audio! I need an email. The guy was like, I need an email saying that you will not use the audio. Well, he was worried about his kid. I get that. So I'm not going to hold that against him. But it started an interesting dialogue with the dean of the journalism school. And just so you know, the focus here is on the greater good. Getting me a professorship at the university. No, the greater... can you imagine?
No, that would never happen. Kind of, and it freaked me
out. Yeah, thank you. No, the greater good here is, and this is where I'm hoping that there is sincerity, is diversity in newsrooms. And we're not talking about color. We're not talking about alphabet mafia. We're talking about diversity of ideas.
Yep.
There is no diversity of ideas in newsrooms across the country. And by the way, when I have, I'm very much looking forward, and David's been awesome. We've had communication. I'm going to go up tomorrow. I'm actually going to meet with the governor in Jeff City and with Andrew Bailey, because I haven't been to Jeff City in a while, so we're going to kind of make this a work day, you know. Otherwise, I got to take it as a vacation day, so
right.
I don't want that.
God forbid.
I'll have to put in a little time tomorrow. But then I'm going to tour the J School, haven't seen it in a while, go to KOMU, where I used to be an anchor and a reporter. That's where the students do their work. Have you ever seen KOMU, Sue?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, so this is, for those people that are not in St. Louis, I think, Fred, you and I, we sometimes assume that people know this stuff. So one of the advantages to going to Mizzou is that they own the NBC affiliate, KOMU, and it's pretty much student-run. There's management that, you know, works for the university and the station, sales staff, all these things, and the anchors are full-time, but the reporters and the anchors in the morning, I mean, the best thing is you tune, I'll do this tomorrow morning, Sue. I'll take some video for you, all right?
Okay.
So, because people who live in mid-Missouri, they love this. This is like entertainment for them. You wake up during the Today Show, and they do those little news, those local cut-ins. And if you want to see great comedy, you tune in to one of these students doing a cut-in, because it's really, literally the first time that they're ever on television, probably. I did that, thoroughly humiliated myself. The first time I was ever on TV, I'm running my own teleprompter. I don't even think they'd let you do that. I got a little foot paddle with my teleprompter, and it screwed up. And my mom and dad are at the Lake of the Ozarks watching this.
Of course.
Because they were there. They happened to be there. And they had to be thinking, oh, my God, we're paying for him to go to school for this. But it ended up working out. So I'm going out there, and there's a guy by the name of John Anderson. A lot of the audience might know John. He is a longtime Mizzou supporter and alum, and he quit ESPN a couple years ago. I mean, he was like one of the main featured guys on SportsCenter, et cetera, and he retired from legacy media, if you will, and he took a job at Mizzou, and he's a professor. So David has a schedule for me tomorrow to go out to Channel 8 and see a newscast, and John will be there, and then we're going to go out to dinner and see the Mizzou game, the basketball game tomorrow. So I hope to have a dialogue about, you know, really the media. And there's so many examples. This is so important right now with what's happening. And Dana Bash, and what I just played here, is an excellent example because of the hyperventilating that's going on. But let me get a little bit more into this, because I think what I'm talking about and what I hope to talk about tomorrow with, you know, some folks over there is what's happening with the American media. And it is on full on display right now with things that are happening in this country. Mainly on Doge. And I think what happened is Elon decided, because so many people are attacking him, that they're going to do something here and have some fun with that handle. I mean, I can make the case, and some people, that's not mature, right? This is what we used to say. Well, you know what? I think we're beyond that right now, because we want some changes. So CNN, completely oblivious to where the country is right now, and I've said this for the last couple of days. I've actually listen to a lot of CNN. I say listen because I'm in my car sometimes. I've watched a fair amount because I want to see how they're covering this. So here's how they're covering it, ladies and gentlemen.
We are 3 weeks into the second Trump presidency, 3 weeks,
And tonight, there are warnings that the U.S. is dangerously close to a constitutional crisis.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's the constitutional crisis email memo that went out. Chris Murphy from Connecticut echoed that over the weekend, and that's the talking points. It's almost like, well, it's not almost like, it is. It is like there's a little memo that goes out, and it's spread to everyone at CNN and MSNBC, and they basically, you know, go on the same rant. And then they do this. This is actually a group of lawmakers who gathered. Fred, do you know names in this group?
Oh, I didn't. I just heard it. I didn't see it.
Might have been Chris Murphy and some of the others. But they are, I guess they feel like they have to serve their crazy constituents in this way. Because let's not forget what we're trying to do here is reduce the waste and the size of government.
I'm from Jersey, so I look a little differently. I say, f*** Trump!
I don't swear in public very well, but we have to f*** Trump!
What they meant to say?
F*** you!
F*** Donald Trump and Elon Musk!
Yeah! Oh, yeah. Who do you really think
Good grief.
Let's talk about who's really getting it up the old, you know what, these days. I don't think it's Trump. I think it's Democrats. They are taking it with extra lube these days. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen, because that's exactly what's happening. It's a joke. You got Caitlin Collins and CNN with an audience that I guess they assume is full of TDS, and now it's also MDS, Musk Derangement Syndrome. This is a group of people. I love this, too, because you got Brian Stelter retweeting some of this, and Jim Acosta's on with James Carville talking about it, too. These are people who literally refused for years to cover the White House accurately. They didn't want to talk about Joe Biden's brain not being operable. I don't want to talk about an operation. It's just not working. Became very clear. I mean, let's face it. They haven't really told us the truth about anything, not to mention all the lies about Hunter Biden and the laptop and everything else. I mean, I don't even know where to get started on some of that. But Jim Acosta is literally the guy who, for his entire CNN tenure, and we could just focus on the last 4 years, but let's face it, it goes beyond that, told lies and wouldn't cover the actual things that were going on in the White House. And now he's worried about what's going on inside the White House. It is comedy freaking gold, ladies and gentlemen. It really is, because they don't know what's happening right now. Here's the James Carville part, okay?
People come up right now, my sense is people are just like, what's going on? Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'm confused. I've never, and the truth of that is, he's mad.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've heard, you know, secondhand of people that have been to the White House, it's nuttier than you even think, okay? It's anything that you hear, this is secondhand information. Some of it is gossip, but pretty reliable people are coming out of there saying, man, you don't believe this.
Good. Let's hope so. I hope it's I hope it is nuttier than I think, because it's time to do something. This is where I think, and look, I'll admit it, for those of you who have listened to this show for a long time, it took me a while to kind of get it. And the whole draining of the swamp thing in 2016, if we're being honest, there was no swamp that was drained. I mean, the swamp probably got bigger. It's not Trump's fault. He learned from that experience, okay? So there's no effort to come in here. I'm so tired of, there was a commission 13, 14 years ago, Simpson-Bowles Commission. And Alan Simpson, I loved Alan Simpson. He was a Wyoming senator. I think he might still be alive. He used to do this thing on the radio back when I was in Columbia at KFRU. Fred, I've talked about this before. He did this thing every morning on Westwood One that was like a back and forth with Ted Kennedy.
Right.
You know, it was almost like Jane, you ignorant slut. Here's
like
my
point
opinion.
Counterpoint.
Yeah, it was point counter, but it was really interesting. And it was really well done. And they both made their points in a 3-minute radio segment that was syndicated about different issues in Washington. So Simpson Bowles came out with all these recommendations. I mean, it was pretty thorough about how to consolidate things and save the taxpayers money. Never gets implemented. Right. Before that, we had the Grace Commission. We've all these things where people get together that are so smart and they get in a room and they say, oh, let's do this. Let's write a list out and we're going to put a report out. It's going to take us 2 years to put the report out. We're not going to actually do anything to make changes during that 2 years, but we'll put it on paper. We'll sign it and then nothing happens. We're tired of that. Okay. Trump's tired of it. I'm tired of it. Will Scharf is tired of it. Eric Schmidt's tired of it. Ann Wagner, even people who were not on board with Trump to begin with. Let's be honest. Not everyone was. We're now on the same page because we want something to happen. Now, hang on. This is like moments ago. Let me go into this. This is Elon Musk in the White House right now, is what I understand from a couple of minutes ago. Hang on. Let's see what this is about.
And so, and if you looked at the, if you asked, looked at the founders today and said, what do you think of the way things have turned out? Well, what, we have this unelected, fourth unconstitutional branch of government, which is the bureaucracy, which has, in a lot of ways, currently more power than any elected representative. And this is not something that people want. And it's not, it does not match the will of the people. So it's just something we've got to fix. And then we've also got to address the deficit. So we've got a $2 trillion deficit. And if we don't do something about this deficit, the country's going bankrupt. I mean, it's really astounding that the interest payments alone on the national debt exceed the Defense Department budget, which is shocking, because we spend a lot of money on defense. And if that just keeps going, we're essentially going to bankrupt the country.
You know, a lot of us know that. A lot of you listening know that. But how many of the regular, just everyday American people know that? Not a lot.
Essential. It's essential for America to remain solvent as a country. And it's essential for America to have the resources necessary to provide things to its citizens and not simply be servicing vast amounts of debt.
And also, could you mention some of the things that your team has found, some of the crazy numbers, including the woman that walked away with about $30 million,
right,
et cetera?
Well, we do find it sort of rather odd that, you know, there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow managed to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth while they are in that position, which is, you know, what happened at USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. But there seems to be mysteriously they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where does it come from? I think the reality is that they're getting wealthy at the taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it.
I love that line. They're good at investing. That's all it is, right? This is from moments ago inside the Oval Office with President Trump and Elon Musk.
If you look at, say Treasury, for example, basic controls that should be in place, that are in place in any company, such as making sure that any given payment has a payment categorization code, that there is a comment field that describes the payment, and that if a payment is on the do not pay list, that you don't actually pay it.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Hey. Anyway, we'll monitor that as we move along here, and we'll get you more. That's interesting, and I don't know, you know, things like this tend to be a little impromptu. It's funny, though, because just to complete the visual, you have Trump with all these pictures right behind his desk, and Elon Musk is standing, Trump sitting down, and then one of Elon's kids, who appears to be like 4 or 5 years old,
super cute,
is standing next to him like in a full-on suit and tie, and he's got this camel trench coat on. It's just like perfect, right? It's pretty funny. Anyway, they're kind of explaining some of the things with Doge right now, and we'll keep you posted on that. We have Kara Spencer coming in studio. She is trying to hopefully provide and restore sanity to the city of St. Louis. We'll talk to her next. Tuesday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show, Sue will have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News in the next hour. We'll also talk about the weather quite a bit because, you know, it's all panic for the blizzard of 2025, even though it's going to be like an inch and a half, Sue. But well, Dave Murray will join us with the very latest. The other thing I want to talk to Dave about, you know, he's out there in California because he's retired. There's a big, big storm moving in from the coast in California, and that might not go very well for them because of the fire situation and the mud. So Dave will have the very latest on that. Our friend Kenny Wallace in the next hour. Kenny's just back from a great trip to Italy, and he was very active on the social media, and I think just the European perspective from Herm is going to be legendary. Sean Spicer at 5:07, and Jason Rance, who does talk radio in Seattle, will come up in the 5 o'clock hour. We have a mayor's race, which is coming up here in St. Louis, a couple of them, actually, because there's a runoff election as well. There was some fascinating new polling that came out about our mayor, Tashara Jones, a couple of weeks ago, and Kara Spencer is the 8th Ward alderwoman for the city of St. Louis, one of the Democrat challengers, probably the best chance of winning in this election. She's joining us in the studio. Hi, Kara. How are you? Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Good
I'm
to
glad
see
to be
you.
Here. Thanks for having
so
me.
I mentioned that the polling showed, this is what people tell me, there was a 62% negative for Tashara, and a guy like Jeff Rainford, who used to be in City Hall with Mayor Slay, says he's never really seen numbers that high outside of someone not embroiled in a scandal, indicted, or a controversy.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think our mayor is embroiled in some scandals. I mean, you see the corruption coming out of several city departments right now, and then the failure to do the basic job of being a city. I mean, if that isn't scandalous, I don't know what is.
Well, and that's what we talk about all the time. You know, we can talk about these political issues, which you and I will disagree on many of those things, but we're talking about services in the city and the basic functions and safety. You know, and here we are. I kind of made a crack to her, Sue, as she was walking in that wasn't targeting Kara, really targeting the current administration. There's a story that came out today about the streets director who's on leave. Right,
and right now?
Well, because of surgery.
Oh,
it should have been fired a month ago, but because of surgery, that streets director is not there. But that's really one of the functions that people are concerned about, because this storm, and while it was significant and ice was pretty thick, the services weren't there, Kara.
Oh, no, they weren't there. I mean, it was. I think that's very, very clear. And, you know, I mean... this is a fairly unprecedented storm. I get that. I mean, this was not a normal annual snowfall. But, you know, we're looking at a time in our lifetimes where unexpected weather events are kind of the norm at this point. And so we've got to be able to pivot. We've got to be able to be nimble. And we've got to be able to address the needs of our citizens, even if we can't predict them.
So what... First of all, there seems to be an opportunity here that maybe did not exist, because you really have a legit shot here to win. But maybe let's explain the protocol moving forward, because it could be confusing to people who don't live in the city. There's an election in how long? In 3 weeks?
It's 3 weeks from today. That's exactly right.
I can't wait. I'm a voter,
right?
Well, and you know, there isn't the snowstorm isn't really the reason here. It is really just the illustration. I mean,
well, that's a good point.
We did polling back in December that showed extremely similar results, okay? You know, people have been feeling like their potholes haven't been filled. The reckless driving is out of control. Trash is nothing new to this snowstorm. And these are failures of city government that have been ongoing. It was illustrated very aptly by the snow and ice that remained in our streets for weeks. But this is just, again, just an illustration of what's been going on in our community.
Does the illustration, is it really kind of framed most often around crime and safety? Or is it a variety of issues?
I think it's a variety of issues. I mean, when I think about why people are leaving, you know, it's obvious, you know, that it's the public, you know, the basic services. We've talked about those. It's public safety. But at the end of the day, I think people have, you know, kind of lost faith in their city government. I mean, it's the corruption coming out of the building division. It's the ARPA funds that haven't been spent, a lack of urgency. And we have an administration, a mayor that keeps telling us everything's okay.
Yeah.
We're doing your job. I know it doesn't seem like we're filling potholes, but believe me, they're getting full.
Right.
You know, yeah, you may feel like it's unsafe, but it's really, really safe. And you can see people driving like maniacs, adhering to absolutely no traffic laws whatsoever. And people are, their lived experience is very different than what their government is telling them.
Well, I will also say that safety is a big issue. I, for instance, am in Holly Hills, and I have to pay extra for a private patrol to patrol our streets, and I have to pay extra for that, and incidents still occur. We simply don't have enough police, and that's a huge frustration in many neighborhoods.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, even when you call the police, the 911 system, where, you know, yes, I understand that the response times have gone down, but guess what? We've also implemented a press 1 for fire, press 2 for EMS. Hang on the line if you're really in dire straits. You know, this sort of approach to, you know, fiddling with the numbers and getting the numbers that you want to be able to communicate, you know, is really enormously frustrating to the average citizen.
So what kind of confidence, though, can someone have thinking Kara Spencer can turn some of this around? I mean, the Board of Aldermen is out there on the fringe on a lot of these issues. You mentioned the ARPA funds. I mean, let's just start there. How do you recapture that particular idea and talk about things to use money for in the city of St. Louis that maybe the electorate would support?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear we need to get back to the basics. You know, from the very beginning of the ARPA funds, I've been a proponent of investing the largest chunk of it into the infrastructure of our city, the streets, you know, the trash trucks, the things that we need to do the basic job of being a city government. It's a recognizing it's a once in a lifetime slug. You know, you can't use it for raises and things like that, an ongoing cost structure.
Right.
So
that's an important point that I think even was lost on me for a while, because that stuff then becomes an annual expense. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of those annual expenses, the general fund that we use for, you know, trash trucks, you know, street repairs and stuff like that, we could, if handled appropriately, get the backlog of all those deferred maintenance, you know, done with the ARPA funds. We could have focused a large amount of that. And luckily, we've only spent about 37% of those ARPA funds that we've been sitting on for 4 years. So we have the opportunity to redirect some of those. They've been obligated, yes, but I think there's some flexibility. I think we're going to see when we start combing through how they've been dispersed, how those programs have been going and not going, we're going to have some opportunities to hopefully reinvest some of those funds.
Kara Spencer is here. She's running for mayor here in a few weeks. It's 3 weeks from today. So the conventional wisdom in the city of St. Louis, where I did live in the city for a while, would be the South Side, a lot of white voters there, maybe different priorities in the North Side, African-American, on the racial element of this, because that's something that is important and it's, you know, relatable to a lot of people. I guess they sometimes make decisions on that. What kind of inroads are you having with African-Americans in North St. Louis? Because our perspective is always, hey, these are some folks that maybe get grouped unfairly into a bucket that says we don't want more police, when actually they want more police and public safety. And that message sometimes gets overridden in the media, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, what we're doing as a campaign is really going out and meeting people where they are throughout the city. Ward endorsements and endorsements across the board have just started to come out. The first ward endorsement just happened to be the northernmost ward, the 13th ward. They endorsed me for mayor unilaterally.
Okay,
and so we're proud about that. You know, and just meeting people where they are. I mean, I think people across the board are very, very, very frustrated with the administration. And while racial dynamics always play into it, I think it's important that, you know, as a city alderperson, I represented for 8 years a ward that I was the distinct racial minority in. And I think it's important to represent people, the interests of citizens, regardless of race. And I've had a good track record of doing just that.
What's your current philosophy on the redevelopment of the part of downtown where we sit right now, all the way to the Arch and the AT&T building, obviously? And there's now tax incentives being discussed. Someone like me thinks that's nuts. I'd love to see downtown succeed, but I work right here. And I can't go through the traffic lights without stopping, even if they're green, because I've come too close to being hit. I've walked between here and Busch Stadium, and I have not felt safe. One thing I should say, walking back from the hockey game the other night, right here in Pelker Park, there was a cop that was there. I had not seen that. I can't remember when I've seen that. That made me feel good. But on the AT&T building and all that, what are you thinking there? Because obviously that would be an important part of downtown, but that looks risky to me, Kara.
Well, look, I mean, I think that investing in our downtown is critical for not just the city, but for the region as a whole. It is the core of our community. And we cannot have a flourishing city, a flourishing St. Louis region, without a flourishing downtown. I'm a big proponent of investing in our downtown area. Cities that succeed have downtowns that subsidize the neighborhoods throughout the city. And so I'm looking at the Rams funds and hopefully be able to invest a good chunk of those in making the investments in downtown make sense and turn a profit for the city. I mean, you know, I think it's important that we recognize that we're losing, when we lose businesses down here, we're not just losing the tax dollars, we're losing the assessed value of our real estate. And that is a tremendous punch to our bottom line. And if we don't get a handle of that, we're not going to have the revenues we need to hire the cops that you want to see at Polka Park, that you want to see, you know, stopping traffic and making sure that you can drive through a green light reliably and safely.
I should know this, but what is your position currently on state control? That's something that's being, even today in the Senate, I think they're taking up that bill.
We talked about this at the floor of the Board of Aldermen. I know that the state of Missouri was really looking to the Board of Aldermen to figure out what to do with that. I'm making a joke there, Mark, but give me a break. But, you know, but the reality is, we talked about this a lot, and what I said there, and I'll say it here, is that I think the biggest thing going for the proponents of state control, by the way, I'm not one of them. I want to see the city of St. Louis continue to control their police department. But on the other side, the biggest thing they got going for them right now is the police officers themselves would rather have the state of Missouri as their employer than the city of St. Louis.
Yeah. Yep.
And we have some major issues there. We have two police officer unions, you know, the union POA and the Ethical Society, which represents primarily Black police officers, and they both would rather have state control. Okay. And so we are not being a good employer. We've got to recognize the issues that make our officers rather have that. It looks like, you know, everything from procurement of shirts, fixing of vehicles, the basic necessities that an officer has, to hiring and policies within an department and feeling supported by their community.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, I think it's important that we recognize that and we work to be a better employee, not just for the police department, but for all city employees.
Hey, you better be careful taking the side of supporting police. That's very dangerous in the city of St. Louis. Look, I wish you luck. I mean, a lot of us, we sit here and talk about these issues. We realize that it's important to the region. We want people to feel safe to come downtown, whether it's a baseball game or other things. So I think there's a lot of folks looking for a change, and I appreciate you coming in here. I think you got a good shot, Kara. I would have said that months ago, but Tish, she's made this a little easier on you with her travel and everything, too. You must thank her and send her flowers.
I send her flowers every day. Yep.
Good Lord.
But look, I mean, you know, I'm looking to people to get engaged. The biggest ask I have for folks who live in the city is to get out and vote. We have very low turnout. There's only a couple things on this ballot. The mayor's race, the comptroller's office. Mm-hmm. There's only two alderman seats up for grabs in the primary. So it's really important to get out and vote. You know, if you live in the region, consider investing in a city election financially, because what happens in the city ripples throughout the region.
Yes.
So consider making your voice heard, whether that's a financial contribution or just weighing in on social media.
And the 3 weeks from today, that's the first round, just to be clear on the protocol. And then there's a runoff with the top two vote getters.
That's right. But look, we want to make a big splash in the primary because when the April election comes around, we want it to be clear who's going to be the next mayor. Because on the April 8th election, the person who wins that seat is going to be walking into govern in 2 weeks.
And that quickly.
Quickly. So it's important, I think, to come out strong in the primary to make a good showing so that we can spend a couple weeks at least getting some preparation work done in the event that we're able to govern.
You know what I feel right now? I feel confidence from Kara Spencer.
Yes.
I feel energy, and I think this is heading in the right direction. So thank you. I appreciate you coming in here and spending some time, and good luck with everything. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we got a break here. We're coming back. Sue's News in the next hour. Kenny Wallace in the next hour. We'll have some fun with him. It's all on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. You know, we started off the show at the beginning of the hour with this event that was kind of impromptu, it seemed, in the White House with Elon Musk and President Trump. And he's still going right now, right, Fred? And they haven't slowed down. Musk was in there with his son on his shoulder for a while. Still They're answering questions about Doge. Let's sample this again just for a second here, because you never know what's going to quite happen with President Trump and Elon Musk.
They're corrected. And that cannot be, I can't imagine that could be held up by the court. Any court that would say that the president or his representatives, like Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of State, whatever, doesn't have the right to go over their books and make sure everything's honest. I mean, how can you have a country? You can't have anything that way. You can't have a business that way. You can't have a country that way. Hey, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press.
At the White House tonight at about 10 o'clock. If you want to come over, you can say hello to him.
Did you guys get anything in return?
Not much. No, they were very nice. We were treated very nicely by Russia, actually. I hope that's the beginning of a relationship where we can end that war and millions of people can stop being killed. They've lost millions of people. They lost, in terms of soldiers, probably 1.5 million soldiers in a short period of time. We got to stop that war. And I'm interested primarily from the standpoint of death. We're losing all those soldiers. And they're not American soldiers. They're Ukrainian and Russian soldiers. But you're probably talking about 1.5 million. I think we got to bring that one to an end. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, wrapping it up, you can actually see the snow falling behind President Trump. And I think a lot of the interesting part of that, not that what the president was saying wasn't interesting, but Elon was speaking earlier, and that was quite fascinating because he was just answering questions. I'm guessing maybe he was answering some questions about his new Twitter handle, which he has changed back. If you haven't heard about that, he went for a small portion of the day by Harry B-O-L-Z. Harry Bowles is what the... I pronounce it Bowles. I'm not sure anybody else. Sue, did you really just hand this piece of literature
to
me?
I did. I just got it in the mail.
Oh, my gosh. You should have given me this when Kara was here. So this is a piece of literature...
Oh, you're right. Sorry about that.
From the... from the mayor, from Tisch, and it says on the front, Mayor Jones moving St. Louis forward. It's very slick. It's like a little, it's like a little magazine, right?
Yeah.
And it says, moving St. Louis forward, reelect Tishara Jones. And here's what I'm told on this, putting the public back in public safety.
No, she doesn't emphasize safety.
No.
She emphasizes public. What?
Oh, well, Sue, it says, as a mom, Tishara knows firsthand how important it is to travel all around the country and build, that's a different line. She knows firsthand how important it is for families to not only be safe, but to feel safe. We deserve a city where,
What?
Right. Where people feel, live to work, play without fear. Yeah, we've been talking about that since you took over.
Yes,
we were talking about it, yeah, relation to Kim Gardner. It's pretty funny because then you you just look at the other side of the literature here, and it says expanding substance abuse services. That's the number one thing that she wants to do. Sending the right professionals. So before, you know, improving police and anything relating to the cops, that's way down the list here, even though they're putting the public back in public safety. The priority she's not wavering from is sending the right professional, implemented cops and clinicians, social workers, basically, to go to people who are out there. Now, look, there are people that are mentally ill, and there's other services that are needed, but you don't do it at the expense of actually arresting people, making sure that there's a police present, that you're charging people with crimes. So last on the list here is combating violent crime. How about put that top on the list? And then all this other stuff, you know, strengthening community police relations. Here's an idea. How about arrest the bad guys, put them behind bars? Maybe the people that are the taxpayers in the city might have a higher opinion of you.
I don't think
it's the cops, by the way.
No, they're not.
They're not blaming the cops.
Nope.
They understand. And even the cop hatred that you tried to, you know, explain to us for all these years, it doesn't exist because people, as we indicated with Kara, they want to be safe. They really do. There was something, There was something related to BLM. Every once in a while, Sue, and I'm talking about something here, the brain will go in another direction. Mm. And I feel like there was something I even had today that was related to that. I'll have to look at that because, yes, I found it.
What was it?
Every once in a while. You'll like this. This is an amazing story. So this, where is this? See, this is where I have to find out where this is. This is Nashville. Okay, so this is Axios Nashville. I didn't realize Axios had like little divisions.
I didn't either.
They have correspondence. So this is Nashville. And you had a city council down there that had a settlement that was proposed to them from a cop. No. It was a fire department employee. He was demoted for criticizing BLM. Okay. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to back up here and I'm going to tell you what happened in the situation here. Because the thing that happened here is interesting. This guy is on Facebook. Let's see what his name is. Mr. Turner. Tracy Turner. Captain Tracy Turner. I think it's a guy. Turner is on Facebook. And in one post, he says, this is in the aftermath of George Floyd and all this nonsense, right? These protesters are the stupidest people on the planet, other than the arsonists and looters that hang out with them. He used terms like thugs and animals to describe the protesters. You got to be careful. You can't do that. You can't describe protesters accurately. That's against the law, apparently. He also said this in another post. I am not or ever have been a slave owner or a bad cop, me or anyone else. I know I've never spoken with the white privilege office, so quit looting and trying to burn down my city. If I offend you or you offend me, get over it, right? In response to his Facebook post, Turner was placed on leave, and he was demoted. He also received rebukes, but wait for it here. I've got a great ending, okay? He gets rebukes from state representatives and council people. He apparently later apologized for the posts. And he filed a federal lawsuit, all right, and said, look, this is unfair. The legal department at the Metro Legal Department is what they call it in Nashville. They wanted to settle the case for $105,000. All right. They said, look, let's cash this out. But they needed the council and they needed the council to approve it. The council unanimously rejected the legal department's advice. They sent the case to trial. Are you ready?
Okay.
For what the jury found? A federal jury on Friday voted to award demoted Captain Tracy Turner just a little more than $105,000, $1.8 million, because you have the freedom of speech to go on Facebook and call looters idiots, okay? And they shouldn't have demoted him, and that's amazing. 1.8 million. Ah, they were just 1.7 off from saving the taxpayers a whole boatload of money, weren't they?
Get more at 971talk.com.